Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
It is good to be here today. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad I made it today. Now, we probably got some people that are on vacation and getting this last vacation in and all that kind of stuff, but I was asking the Lord about this thing that he was giving us about, I've given you this city, I've given you this place, and I feel the urgency of that word. I really do. I feel the weight, the weightiness. It's not a burden, but it is a weight. It is a weight that I feel that this city, this area needs to be taken for God. It really does. It really does. We've got so many things going on in the county and the community that, but God has so many things that are going on in the county and in the community, and we want to stay aligned to what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And I was asking him about that, about the word that he gave. And what I really felt like I heard was that to be able to take the city that he's given, we have to operate the way he said to operate. Watch this, from the beginning. Everybody say, from the beginning. And I really paused on that, and I really prayed about that. I said, Lord, to do it the way you want it done, but you said from the beginning. And then the Holy Spirit just led me into this thing concerning the beginning and how things, I'm about to knock that microphone off, how things are supposed to be and how things were originally. And we're gonna talk to you a little bit about how we got to where we are today, but basically what happened in the beginning, what really happened from the very beginning. And it's gonna narrow down to the understanding authority and understanding power. Everybody say, understanding authority and understanding power. And I feel like the church as a whole, we've hungered after the power, which we need the power to be able to do the things. But I think we've forgotten, or we've been diverted from the thing concerning authority. And we need to recapture that. And that's what the impression of the Holy Spirit has been putting upon my heart concerning from the very beginning. So I'm gonna read. You don't have to go to Isaiah 14. There'll be some other passage that we go to. But before we go to Isaiah, I want to go to Ezekiel 28. It said, and this is about Lucifer. Lucifer was in heaven. He was the anointed cherub. He was the covering over the throne. And but anyway, let's read this passage, 28:13, Ezekiel 28:13. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Boy, you were in Eden, the garden of God, and you were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. I ordained and I anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all that you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you and you sinned. So I banished you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. And I threw you to the ground. That's when Lucifer was cast out. Isaiah records it this way. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly and the utmost heights of the north. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. You get it? You see it? Here is the mighty guardian. Here is Lucifer, the cherub that is covering the throne of God, that is covering, the Bible talks about it, him being in different sanctuary things and being sort of over the worship. But yet, pride began to feel who he was as a created being. Pride came to the place of saying, wait a minute, I'm going to exalt my, he sort of liked this stuff, so I'm going to exalt myself above him. Matter of fact, my throne will be exalted above your stars. He wants to enthrone himself. He wants to bring the power and authority that he carries, that God has given him, and he wants to bring that to fulfill him, not to fulfill the purposes of God. And in the process of that, he failed. He was cast out of heaven because he lifted himself higher than God, tried to. He said he would do that. And that was where his heart was headed. God said, I place you in the garden of God, the very garden of Eden, the very garden of God, on God's holy mountain. I put you there. But yet he said, I banished you in disgrace. I expelled you from the place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with pride because of your beauty. Because of your beauty, because of your wisdom has been corrupted. Corrupted by what? The love of splendor. So here comes the first, you know, we think about this. Here comes the fallen, and he is so influential that he influences 1/3 of the host of heaven, all the angels. 1/3 of them go with him. That's where we get the fallen angels. That's where we get demons. You know, I thought about that for a little bit, and I'm like, God, how it must have broke your heart. God created the earth and all that, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them, watch this, and let them rule. Everybody say the word rule. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created him. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill this earth. Fill this earth. And subdue it. This thing about subduing it means to cultivate it to the place that the earth is filled with you subduing it. In other words, recreate what I've given you. Build this kingdom that I've given you. He goes on, he said, subdue it and rule over it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Satan was cast down. He lost his authority, but he didn't lose his power. He was hungry for authority because that's what he was used to. He was used to having some authority in heaven. But he hungered. See, he really wasn't after Adam and Eve. He was after what Adam and Eve carried. They carried dominion. The word dominion means authority. They carried authority. He was after the authority. He was after the dominion, hungry for it. And by the way, when he was cast down to the earth, he was removed from the presence of God, from the mountain of God, the presence of God. He was removed. He was banished from his presence. He was moved from... By the way, not only did he fall from the presence of God, he is continually falling. His progression of falling from God is still going. You read the Bible, you see darkness. And then you see deep darkness. And you see gross darkness. You see outer darkness. And you see the progression of, and that is the progression of him just continually falling and moving away from God. You see, he lost his authority. But he didn't lose his power. He was there in the Garden of Eden as a snake, as a serpent, and brought temptation to Eve. Eve listened, and then Adam, she was deceived, and then she gave it to Adam, and Adam took from her and did participate, but he did it willingly. He did it in disobedience. She was deceived. Adam wasn't. The Bible didn't say that he was deceived. It said that the woman was deceived. He had dominion. He had authority. God had given it to him. In Genesis, we give him the rule. We give him the ability to rule. That's authority. And he gives him the authority and the power. And in the process of them doing that, they lost the very thing that God had given mankind. The ability to rule over the entire earth as kingdom ruling. See, it's not doing whatever they wanted to do because they did that and it brought failure. It brought the place of authority. The dominion was taken. It really wasn't taken. It was given up. It was given up. I want what you're offering more than what I already have. I'm wanting to take your offer. I'm going to go ahead and take your offer. Because there's probably more. See, that's the convincing thing of the enemy. You know, he wants to deceive people into thinking God's holding out on you. Have you ever thought that? Has anybody in this room ever thought God is holding out on you? Other than me. Okay, well, there's three of us in here that has thought that. You know. I'm not saying God, if you've ever said, God, why don't you? You already, what you're saying is you're holding out. Yeah. You just don't want to admit it. You know, but see, that's the temptation. If it says God is withholding. God's not withholding. So he gives Adam the authority and the dominion, the power to be able to subdue, to be able to recreate everything that's going on in the garden. He's able to fill this earth with what he has. Because he has authority and power. But he gave it all up. You know, the Bible tells us that it's through one man that sin entered. Is that correct? Through one man that sin entered, and we became sinners through mankind, through Adam. So when we see this, and we study this thing about the very beginning, and this is the things. Now I'm giving you a Reader's Digest version. I really am. It's just so many things that's inside it that you can study it for yourself. You really need to go back and read the scriptures concerning the original things that God wanted to happen on this earth. So we see that Adam has given away his authority and power here. And we find that written in the Bible. We'll get there in just a minute, but we find that also written in the Bible. So you begin to say, how did this all start? And what does that mean to me today? Well, the first thing it's got to mean is somewhere along the line, that authority and power has to be gained back. Somewhere along the line, because mankind has given it away. Man has said, here, I want what I currently have. I desire more, but I'm going to get it this way and not your way. So he falls. He loses his authority, but he doesn't lose his power. He's in the garden looking for the authority of God that they carry, and he wants it. See, the church still fights for power, still looks for power, still desires the power. Nothing wrong with power. We talked about the power the other week, about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he clothes us with power to be able to do the things that he wants us to do for others. He empowers us. And we talked about the church needs that. Does the church need that? Absolutely. But what the church has, what I believe we've missed out on that he's really wanting us to draw attention to is the fact that we have not operated in the authority because we haven't understood the loss of it, nor its regain completely, nor what it means for us. We'll be talking more about the authority of a believer. We'll be talking more about that next week. But today I want you to see that how this authority was regained. Everybody said, you know, well, Christ got it back. Oh, yeah, true. So true. But see, there, when you read in most translations of the Bible, especially in the King James, I love the King James, but you see power in it 163 times. And 77 of those times, that word is dunamis. Y'all know what dunamis is? Dunamis is the power. It's like dynamite. It's explosive. It's explosive. It's the power to do miracles. It's the power. It is the power to have so much energy that it recreates. And it's there 77 times, 69 times. It's another word. Exousia. But yet, in most of the Bibles, it's translated power. It can be translated power, but that is not its primary use of that word. The primary use of that word is authority, dominion, having the authority. There is a difference from authority and power. There's a difference in the two. But yet, in some translations, they're both translated in the Bible sometimes as power. But you have to look deeper and find out. When you study, you have to look deeper and say, well, is this power dunamis or is it exousia, which is the authority. See, the dunamis means mighty works, miracles, mighty deeds, great ability, the power, the ability to produce, the ability to achieve. It's force, it's energy. All things are possible, right? Why? Because power's here. Exousia is delegated authority, the right, the privilege, the jurisdiction that you have that has been bestowed or placed upon you by the ultimate authority that they carry. The one who carries the authority gives the authority by bestowing it upon you. That is the ability to be able to rule. Everybody say rule. We, you know, that's the ability for us to be able to rule and not power, but to rule. You know, it's like this. It's the police officer, policeman. He shows up and he's wearing what? What does he got? He has authority. He has authority to go out, stop traffic. He has authority to go out. He has, right? He carries authority. What does that mean? He speaks, and the authority of the city is backing him up. Does that make sense? See, the authority is when you're able to say, by the way, authority does not have to yell and scream. I've heard people say, well, you know, they scream at demons. And I said, I'm not donating any tonsils. If you have authority, you don't have to scream. Amen. You don't have to yell. You carry the authority. By the way, we've lost the thinking process that we're in authority. Now, we'll talk about more of that next week. But see, God said, I give you authority, but yet it was yielded and given away. And the earth has suffered because of it. But you know, when you begin to have authority, things change. It's usually something matter of fact, do you have authority in your children's lives? See, it does not always mean dunamis that you're going to go over there and have power and discipline. Sometimes your authority speaks in such a way that what? You can look at them and they do what? Why? What is that? And you said it right, Rich. See, authority is something that is obeyed. You speak, they obey. That's authority. It's this thing of us carrying, and we'll get to this next week as well, but it's this thing about carrying authority. Y'all remember the story. I don't want to over-tell it, but y'all remember the story that I told you, that I was in Ingles and I was standing at the cash register. I was just checking out, had two or three items, and I heard the loudest sound of a door. It sounded like it was just being torn all to pieces, you know, the door that goes. There wasn't anything wrong with the door when I came in, but there was such a noise at the door that it just got my attention. And in the process of getting my attention, I looked. And I saw this man walking through the door. I mean, but nobody else, I don't think anybody else heard the door. No, I didn't see anybody else turn to the door. You know, so it was, anyway, so I see a man coming through, and I'm at the first cash register, and he's at the door. There's no other cash registers down through here. He's at the door. He starts coming through, and I hear God saying, he's coming for you. And I looked at the man, and I said, well, I don't want him coming for me. I don't want that. So instead of going around and getting in line, and there wasn't anybody behind me, he walks behind me, bumps into me, you know, because there's a rail over here that bumps into me, and gets on this side and puts his chest against my shoulder, right here just standing against me. And he's about this tall. He's a couple inches taller than me. And he leans into me. And I'm like, God, what is going on here? You know, I'm just after eggs and milk. You know. And he leans into me and he says, I'm here. I wanted to say, if you'll just give me 2 minutes, I'll be out of here. That's what I wanted to say. I turned and looked at him, and it just rose up inside me, and I said, you won't be for long. I just turned, and he said, I'm here. And I said, you won't be for long. Get back. I said, get back. And he slid. I mean, no moving of his legs. He slid about 3 feet back from me. Eyes was dark and all that. And I just, you know, just turned and looked at the cash register guy, and he's about 22 years old, and he's like, you know, what happened? What happened? I said, it's just God demonstrating he has authority. It's fine. He said, you're not leaving, are you? I said, you're going to be okay. He's not going to bother you. You're going to be okay. And I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I said, okay. You know you're born again? Yeah. And I said, you're going to be okay. He can't do anything to you. Why are you leaving? Well, I've got things I got to go do, you know. I said, you'll be fine. Well, the guy don't even have anything to check out. So anyway, I asked the Lord. I said, on my way out, I said, Lord, I'm gonna wait out here, and I'm gonna witness to him. He said, no, I want you to go on home. You've done what you're supposed to do. And I said, okay. I really said, okay. I said, okay. So now, that wasn't power. That was authority. You hear me? There's a difference between power and authority. The church needs to understand that when Christ came, he came back. I got so much to tell you, but he came back as the second Adam. Because God was not going to leave the earth in that condition. So he's bringing his own son to be able to take back. You know, that song says, going to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. Listen, you can sing that all day long. But unless you have authority, you better wait. Are y'all with me? Okay. So, see, apart from the Holy Spirit, you don't have any power to begin with. And then apart from his authority, we don't have any. So God sent his son, but you need to understand that with authority, it comes from relationship being bestowed upon you, being applied to you out of your relationship, then comes the commissioning. That's the reason when he left, when Satan left, when Lucifer left the mountain of God, he left his place of authority. Why? Because it's where God, the authority he had was given to him by God. Relationship. When the relationship is not there, the authority is not in operation. That is the reason why you have so many people who say, well, I'm an authority here. All that is lost authority being masqueraded by power and they want to tell you it's authority. See, when we lose the authority to be able to walk as God wants us to walk, we'll use power to be able to make up for it, and it won't do it. It takes the authority to run a kingdom. It takes power to be able to conquer. Power conquers. Authority rules. Power conquers. Authority rules. All right, y'all with me? So, are y'all wave at me and tell me you're. I'm wanting to make sure that I'm not going crazy. But let me read you some scriptures, and it'll sort of help some things out. Can I say something about healing? Here's one thing the Lord's taught me recently. How many of you are learning from God? I mean, you know, God, he wants to teach us. We just have to be with. Hey, God taught me this about healing recently. So healing is when something is removed. Miracles is when something is put back. Diseases, removed. Healing is when something is removed. Miracles are when something is put back in the place of when something is removed. Now, I'm like, Lord, So, when we bring healing to people through the power of God in our lives, when we bring healing to people, what is happening? Something, whatever it is being what? Removed. We need to speak that out. That's removed. And the dunamis power is to put something back, is to recreate or to bring forth something that wasn't there at that time. That's all I want to say about healing. All right. It meant a lot to me. So, but anyway, let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 5 through 8. Luke chapter 4. And this is Jesus' temptation. This is his wilderness. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Watch this. In one moment. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this dominion. I will give you all this authority. Who's doing the giving? Satan. I will give you all this authority. I'll give you all this dominion and its glory. For it has been handed over to me. Adam did that. It has been handed over to me, and I'll give it to you, and I'll give it to whomever I wish. Why? He had the authority to be able to do that. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and serve him only. What do you think Jesus is telling him? Here's what he's telling him. I know you have authority over this. But I have authority from heaven. How do we know that? He understood that as man, it was yielded over. The authority was yielded. Jesus understood that. But he also understood that he came with heaven's authority. Everybody say yes. Okay. John 5:19, you can write this down or you can go there. Jesus therefore answered and saying to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man, or the Son, can do nothing of himself. Watch this. Nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Or whatever the Father does, these things, the Son also does in like manner. Verse 26, for just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave the Son also to have life in himself. 27, and he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. I can do nothing, verse 30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Jesus understood Satan had authority over everything that he was showing him. But he also knew that the authority that Jesus was operating under was the authority that the Father gave him. Jesus did not have authority of his own as the Son of Man. Born as a Son of Man, man has no authority. It's been given away. He is operating under the authority of the Father that the Father gave him to operate. Y'all with me? Jesus knows that. Jesus understands that. Jesus understands that Satan has the authority in the earth. It was given to him. He understood that. But he also said in John, you know, I'm operating under the authority the Father's given me in heaven. Say, okay. I know this may be dry to you, but I'm telling you, if this is not understood, we will not take this city that's been given to us or anything else. If we do not understand what the Holy Spirit's trying to show us in this, we're not trying to. I'm trying my best to obey the Holy Spirit so you can understand, but He's the one that gives you understanding. I can do nothing on my own initiative. I don't do anything on my own. Why? Because I only do what he tells me. I only operate under the authority that he's given me. The authority is supposed to be obeyed. But anyway, let's look at Luke 4 again. Turn back to Luke 4 again, verse 37. And he came down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching. Watch this. Again, his teaching, His message was with authority. Now, let me ask you something. Have they heard teaching before? Yes. Absolutely. From all the rabbis that they had heard teaching before? Absolutely. What was it teach? What was it? It was teaching without authority. It was teaching that wanted power. The Pharisees wanted the power, but not they wouldn't operate in authority. So the reason Jesus' teaching was so astonishing, because it was under the authority of the Father. Which means when we get to this thing about you and I being in the authority of the believer, what we say matters a lot. He goes on and he says, they said, it's a message of authority. There was a man in the synagogue possessed with the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Hey! What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So the demons know. What are they awakened by? What are they awakened by? His authority. And it amazes me that this is in the synagogue. This is in church, and here's a demon-possessed person yelling out. And anyway. I'm not saying anybody that yells out is demon-possessed, so don't say that. So he rebuked, watch this, he said, Jesus rebuked him, says, be quiet and come out of him. Watch that. Be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And with amazement, they came upon all of them. They began discussing with one another, saying, what is this message? For with authority, watch this, authority and power. There's the two words together. Authority and power. He commands unclean spirits to come out, and they come out. And the report about him was getting out into every locality of the surrounding district. Now, Jesus is operating under the authority of his Father. He understands that Satan is the prince and power of the air, and he has the authority that's been handed over to him, and he understands that. But Jesus is here demonstrating how God's authority works in man. He's demonstrating that for you and I, for us to be able to see it. See, authority is to be obeyed. Say, authority is to be obeyed. Let me give you this. I know it's 12 o'clock. Let me give you this. You know, Jesus, he tells the disciples, get in the boat. We're going where? We're going to the other side. Get in the boat. We're going to the other side. So they all get in the boat, and they get halfway there. This huge, violent storm comes up and begins rocking and blowing, and water is filling the boat. It's all over the place. Y'all with me? Now, this is gonna move you. It's gonna stir your heart. It really will. It stirred mine. That Jesus is laying in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. He's tired. He's going to sleep. The boat looks like it's going to sink. The disciples get fretful, fearful. They go to Jesus. They wake him up. And this is what they say. Don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're going to die? Jesus is aroused from his sleep. He speaks to the winds, and they cease, and he looks at the sea and he says, hush, be still. Now, if we stop right there, I would say, this is my thinking. I would say, that's the way you do it. Something's going wrong. Go to God. He's not asleep, but arouse him with your, hey, go to God. Listen, here's my request. Listen, we got all this going. And then God answers prayer. Something's wrong. I go to God and pray about it, and he answers it. Me, I'm like, yeah, that's the way you do it. Jesus says, Why is your faith so little? He don't look at him and say, good job, you went to the source, you prayed, and I answered. Good job. No, he didn't say that. He said, why is your faith so little? Why is it so little? What is he talking about? Why didn't Jesus just applaud him for acknowledging him as the master, making the request or making the statement, and him answering? But see, he didn't celebrate that. Instead, he looked at him and said, where's your faith? Why is your faith so little? What is he looking for? Watch this. What is he looking for? He's looking for them to stand on his word that he said, we are going to the other side. There's some things that he's not saying you pray about. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying there's just some things that he's saying don't pray about. Why? Because he's already told you. And we got to close. The storm you can sleep in is the one that you have authority over. Y'all got it? The storm that you can lay down and sleep in. What are you sleeping on? What are you resting on? What'd he say it? What'd he say it? What'd he say was doing? We're going to the other side. So everything, watch this, everything that rises up against what God said, when we understand our authority, we will speak to that very thing and say, uh-uh. That's Jesus, where's your faith? Didn't I say we're going to the other side? So instead of praying, he was looking to them to say, hush, be still, we're going to the other side. John, you get anything out of this? It's me and you, brother. It's me and you. No, I know everybody. Listen, do you hear? See, we have to understand this thing about authority. Then Jesus looks at the disciples. He looks at the disciples over in Matthew 28. And he says, once he dies, by the way, let me read that passage. Write this down. This is Philippians. Are you with me? Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11. And being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore also, God highly exalted him and bestowed, watch that word, bestowed, here comes the authority, bestowed upon Jesus, watch that, now, it's, watch this, it's not, it was the Father's authority, now he's died, what has God given him? God's given him of his own authority. Watch this. He said, bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those who are in heaven, say in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Three places he's got authority. In heaven, now he's got it on the earth because he's taken it back through his death. And not only on the earth, but under the earth. And then he tells the disciples, Matthew chapter 28, he says, behold, I want to tell you something. All authority of heaven and earth is given unto me. He got it back. He got it back. He got back what we gave away. And now he tells us, we got to get it. We got to get it back. We got to get the authority that he says that we have. And we have to understand that. We're going to be talking about that next week. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Well, bring somebody with you. Did you get anything out of it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, God bless you. Actually, after he did the quieting of the sea and everything, the wind and the sea, the disciple says, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves do what? Obey him." Why? What's he carrying? Authority. If you and I want to take this city that he's willing to give, we have to understand authority and power. And not getting them mixed up where we're trying to use the power to show we have authority. Y'all with me? Okay. If anyone needs prayer, I'd like for you to, if the prayer team can come up, we're going to dismiss. But if there's anybody that really needs prayer, I want the healing team come up here real quick. Just come, you guys come on up. So if there's anybody that wants prayer, I don't want you to leave without getting what you need in prayer, okay? But I want you to come back. I really do. I want everybody to come back next week and bring somebody so we can, as we delve into this thing, okay, we see now how we lost it and we see now how Christ got it back. So now what about us? And there's a lot that he has to say about us. So that's what we'll be talking about, the authority of the believer next week. Let's stand to our feet. Let me ask you this. Do you want the authority that you can sleep in a storm?
Yes.
Because guess what? Storms are coming. Storms are coming. But with authority, we can sleep in the storm because we know what God said. Amen? Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your presence today. We thank you for these people. We thank you for what you've provided for us. Lord, we gave it all away, but Christ came and got it all back. And we praise your name for your provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. If you need prayer, I want you to come up. These are ready to pray for you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.